sitting in for Dave Congleton here at Cape News Talk 920 KVEC. In the next couple hours, we've got, for this coming hour, we've got Craig DeLuz of the Firearms Policy Coalition. We're going to talk about firearms law here in California, what the what they're doing up there in Sacramento. We're going to talk about what the current state of some lawsuits that are going on against the state are. And we'll be taking your calls as well. So let's welcome Craig DeLuz. Hi, Craig. It's Matt Hoy.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am doing excellent. It's kind of hot up here in Sacramento.
Well, it's that way across most of the state. So tell our listeners about the Firearms Policy Coalition, what it is, what its goals are.
Okay. The Firearms Policy Coalition is a four-year-old organization. We started primarily because we noticed that there seemed to be a gap in terms of lobbying and legislative advocacy for the Second Amendment, in particular here in the state of California. And when we say that, we mean we wanted to see more in terms of utilization of new media, electronic media, new technology in order to help engage people and make it easier for people to be engaged in the legislative process. We also are an organization that we're not a conservative organization. We're not a liberal organization. We're a Second Amendment advocacy group. So we've got our membership spans diaspora of from liberal to conservative to libertarian. First and foremost, we are a Second Amendment advocacy group, and we've been successful in the border of a million here in the state of California. We've thousands of veto request letters to the governor's office on legislation, and any time we put together what we call a fire mission, we tend to get thousands of folks responding to members of the California legislature on particular pieces of legislation.
So you've been up there you're up there in Sacramento, you are called sometimes to testify in front of Senate committees about various firearms related bills. What is that like?
I will tell you, it's an interesting experience. I spent quite a good amount of time as a legislative staffer, and you always kind of know that members really aren't the policy experts when it comes to measures. But one of the things that I've learned in this particular area is you come to realize just how little members who want to ban guns know about guns or gun law. It's a frustrating experience in that many, many times I am testifying on a measure and I am able to provide information that is clear, concise, and supportable, and yet oftentimes I'm dealing with members who don't care what the truth is, don't know what the truth is, don't know what the facts are, don't care what the truth is, and don't care what the facts are. They've made up their minds that they need to do something about gun violence, and this is it.
Do you have any examples of kind of those things that kind of anti-Second Amendment people tend to believe that isn't true?
Well, I'll give you one easy example is they keep looking at groups like ours or like the NRA or the California Rifle and Pistol Association or Gun Owners of California, and they keep saying that, well, the gun industry. And what they don't understand is we're all nonprofit organizations that are supported largely by our members. You donate $5, $10, $15, $20 at a time. Granted, the NRA has a lot more of those members, but yet and still, they are not representative of the gun industry. They seem to think that gun owners are these, slack-jawed, toothless individuals who hang out in the middle of rural California, who just, for some reason, love to play with their guns. And they don't realize that gun owners are actually their neighbor, their doctor, their children's teacher. It's those who live around them who happen to believe in the fundamental right to self-defense and the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. That's probably the best example that I can come up with.
Yeah, I've back when I had a newspaper column, as Dave Congleton likes to refer to me as the former conservative columnist at the Slow Tribune here, I interviewed a number of Democratic candidates, both for the state legislature and for the House of Representatives, and I was always shocked at, again, the kind of ignorance regarding the existing gun laws. I can remember talking with Dawn Ortiz Legg, who lost her race against Jordan Cunningham here for the state assembly, and I asked her a simple question. I said, "Does a bullet button on a so-called assault rifle make it so you can change the magazine faster or slower than the standard mag release, say, that you'd buy on a gun in Arizona?" And, well, that a bullet button makes it faster. And it's just not true. And, you know, they seem surprised that somehow the California legislature would have passed a law that would make it easier to reload these types of weapons.
Oh, they have absolutely no idea regarding the technology of firearms. And the interesting thing is for every member of the legislature who's trying to find some technological way to ban guns, there's about 1,000 individuals sitting at workbenches with a case of beer who will find a way around the law that they're proposing.
Yeah, and we're seeing some of that now with the latest law, which effectively made these bullet button so-called assault weapons illegal starting January 1st of this year.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why we're pushing so hard. Like, one of the things we're doing right now is really trying to force the Department of Justice to be forthcoming with regulations on how they're going to enforce the law. Because in the end, if there are going to be opportunities and workarounds, if there's going to be ways in which to help people comply with the law, it'll be revealed through the regulations. That's how we got the bullet button, which was a workaround from the last time they banned these firearms. There's already, and I think you've seen them, there's already a number of different options that are out there for people to be able to comply with the law and not have to register their firearms as assault weapons. But until we have regulations, we don't know which ones work and which ones won't.
Okay, Craig, we'll come back to that. We're going to take a break here. News Talk 920 KVEC. We'll start taking your phone calls for Craig. If you've got questions about California gun laws, what his organization does, Craig, really quick, can you tell people how to find your group on the web?
Easiest way is firearmspolicy.org, or look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/gunpolicy.
And we'll be right back.
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl who knows what's best. I want a girl with shoes that cut and eyes that burn like cigarettes.
Welcome back to the Dave Congleton Show here on News Talk 920 KVEC. We're talking with Craig DeLuz of the Firearms Policy Coalition. We will be taking your phone calls. You can reach us at 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. Craig, talk to us about the so-called high-capacity magazine ban. That was something that was passed as part of Prop 63 this past fall. Bring us up to date on that.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, there are actually two, I prefer to call them standard capacity magazine bans, because many standard capacity magazine bans are over 10, many standard capacity magazines are over 10 rounds. But basically, there was one that was passed on July first, 2016, by the California State Legislature and signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown. And then there was another version of it that was passed as a part of Proposition 63. One of the things that's going on currently right now is we don't know which parts of which actually apply, because they're both written differently. Both of them have some different requirements as well as different penalties. One is an infraction. The other is a misdemeanor. And we don't really know which one really applies, and neither does the Department of Justice. They attempted to issue emergency regulations back in December, on December 23rd. It was the eve of Christmas Eve. They issued them on a Friday before Christmas Eve. And eventually they would wind up having to pull those regulations because they were basically told by the Office of Administrative Law that they weren't going to work. But since then, they've taken no effort to issue new regulations in order to tell us, okay, well, is it an infraction or is it a misdemeanor? How are you going to apply it? How do you, if you own these magazines, how do you get rid of them? How do you dispose of them? How do you legally do that? None of that is included, or no one knows how any of that works. What has also happened is that there were two different lawsuits filed, one in San Diego in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals and one in the Eastern District, one in the Southern District of the Ninth Circuit, and then one in Sacramento, which is the Eastern District. One of those, the one filed in the Southern District, actually got an injunction on the magazine ban. So right now, the enforcement of the ban is being enjoined, meaning they can't enforce it right now, at least until either the injunction is lifted or the case is fully adjudicated. So right now, it's on hold. So if you currently own these standard capacity magazines or magazines that hold more than 10 rounds, you can still legally possess them as of today.
Okay, great. We've got a caller. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from and what question you've got for Craig.
Yeah, Bob calling from San Luis. My question is, my lone firearm is a 1936 Steven 76A. So it was manufactured in 1936. It was my grandfather's. It is a tube-feed magazine. Last time I fired it, 30 years ago, it will fire 17, 22 long rifle rounds as fast as you can pull the trigger, assuming it doesn't jam. So does that qualify as a high-capacity magazine? I mean, it's part of the rifle.
Craig, I'm not sure we want to offer legal advice. I'm not sure either Craig or I want to do that. But Craig, what's
your opinion of how it would be affected?
Well, what I was going to say is this: first and foremost, understand I am not a lawyer, and most importantly, I'm not your lawyer. So, a lot of the intricacies, and one of the suits that has gone forward does talk about and deal with firearms that are basically in the classification such as yours, it falls under the classification. Does it have an ammunition feeding device that holds more than 10 rounds? If it is a magazine, if it is detachable, does that fall under the classification? That's something that I would encourage you to call the Bureau of Firearms or the CalGuns Foundation to get a little bit more information on. Specific firearms, we don't know. And that's one of the reasons why we filed the lawsuit that we did, because we do recognize there are a number of firearms that are out there that are designed, and there are no magazines that can hold less than 10 rounds or less. And there's no way to modify the magazines that come with those firearms without seriously devaluing those firearms. So I can tell you that you are not alone in your issue and concern. You're also not alone in your confusion by this law and how it would apply to your firearm.
And that's one of the problems with a lot of these laws. You know, again, it gets back to the fact that we're talking about these are passed by people who do not have a very even a basic knowledge of guns or gun history. And you know, he's got an old gun that he hasn't fired for 30 years, and all of a sudden he may become a felon overnight without ever knowing it.
Right. They made no attempts. Now, for example, the firearm that he has would actually be considered a relic because it's over 50 years old. But they made no exemptions for firearms that are relics because obviously you would think that they would because obviously those magazines are going to be much harder to replace. They could have done that, but they didn't do that because they don't know about this sort of stuff. And to be quite honest with you, they don't know because they don't care.
Thank you very much, caller. Again, we are coming up here close on the bottom of the hour. We will be taking more of your calls. We will be talking more about the firearms law here in California. Quick thought on what people can do to kind of prevent this sort of thing from happening in the future. We've got a few seconds before the break.
Get involved in helping change the makeup of the California legislature. If you are in an area that's currently represented by someone who supports your Second Amendment rights, then look to the district next to you and find out where they are. Find some place where you can get involved in changing an anti-gun member, replacing an anti-Second Amendment member with one who actually supports the Second Amendment. That's probably the biggest
thing. Thanks a lot, Craig. We'll be back just after this break. News and weather and News Talk 920 KVEC. Back to the Dave Congleton Show here on News Talk 920 KVEC. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Congleton, who's probably, he's probably headed to Washington, D.C. to try and take Donald Trump's Twitter phone away. He'll be back next week, though. We're talking today with Craig DeLuz of the Firearms Policy Coalition. We're talking about gun laws here in California. We're taking your calls, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. Craig, is the Supreme Court going to save us?
I think it depends on the issue, and I think it depends on when. One of the challenges we have right now is this is pretty much the same court. You swap out Justice Gorsuch for Scalia. This is pretty much the same court that hasn't heard a Second Amendment case since 2010. The big challenge we have right now is getting them to actually hear these cases. If they don't take up the cases, then whatever the lower court rulings are will tend to stand. And I think that's the thing that we've got to hope for is, one, that they'll actually hear the cases, and then, number two, that we can have get someone, at least one other person on the court who's willing to sit down and let these cases be heard. So there's no telling. I think we're more hopeful now that the Supreme Court is gonna help us out on these issues than we have been in the past. But you never know, to be quite honest.
Okay. We've got a caller. Go ahead and state your name and where you're from and what your question is for Craig.
My name is Andy, and I live in Arroyo Grande. And I just want to thank you guys for having this conversation. It's awesome to hear somebody who actually has a lot of knowledge on this stuff. And I hope that people are listening are actually taking it to heart and actually, thinking about it from a factual perspective. And my question for Craig is, Craig, do you have any idea of, I'm sure that it would just have to be an estimate, but what is the estimate of legally owned AR platform style firearms in the state of California right now?
It's been estimated there are millions of, to be quite honest, there are easily millions of them, probably owned by a couple, by several hundred thousand Californians. That's pretty much about where both the anti-gun as well as the pro-gun folks tend to agree. There's easily several million of them out there.
Just in the state of California.
Oh yeah, just in the state. Keep in mind, the AR platform is the most commonly owned platform. It's the most commonly owned platform in the entire country. Most commonly owned firearm in the entire country. And that's for people who know about ARs, know about rifles. They know because it's so easily customizable to make. You can make it to fit you, to fit your size, to fit your particular use, your taste, how you like it to look, which is why it's so popular. We don't know in terms of before long guns started being registered a few years ago. We don't know exactly how many are out there before then, but we do know that a lot of the record sales that have taken place in the last couple of years have been because of proposed bans of this platform of firearm. Every time they try to ban them, a bunch more of them get sold.
Seems like the law of supply and demand would kind of influence that if anybody in the legislature paid attention to that law either.
Exactly. If they just come to understand it. Yeah, you know, if you'd stop banning them, people wouldn't buy them quite as often. Just saying.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, we're talking with Craig DeLuz of the Firearms Policy Coalition. If you got a question, want to give us a call, want to talk about this, it's 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. There's another so-called loophole that the state legislature is looking to remove. I believe it's Assembly Bill 424. What can you tell us about that and what the goal of it is?
Okay, well, first of all, it's important to understand whenever you start hearing the members talk about loopholes, these are parts of the law that are there that basically these are parts of the law they don't like. In this particular case, SB 707 was passed in 2015, which would prohibit someone with a concealed carry permit from carrying on a school grounds, whether it's a university, high school, or elementary school, school or private school.
Before you go any farther on that, prior to that bill passing, how many concealed? Because I know you know this number. Because I know this number. How many concealed carriers had used that permit to shoot up a school here in California?
I'm glad you asked that question. The answer would be zero. In fact, since 1923, which is when concealed carry permits were issued, but before then anybody could carry a gun, since 1923 all the way through till today, not one concealed carry permit holder has been responsible for a shooting, accidental or otherwise, on school grounds. Nonetheless, they felt a need to make it so that we take away our ability to be able to carry on the campus. Now, keep in mind that the feds passed a law back in the 90s that got rid of guns on campus, that made it illegal created the Gun-Free School Zone Act. State of California passed one as well, but once again, like the federal one, exempted concealed carry permit holders and retired peace officers. Well, 2 years ago, they decided that they wanted to not have concealed carry permit holders be exempted. Well, but what they did allow was they did say, okay, well, you know, if a local school officials want to okay such a policy and allow individuals to be able to do so, we'll let them have the ability to be able to do that because, you know, they're locals. They know and understand that what's best in their communities. Well, what happened was five school districts out of over 1,000, that's basically about 0.5%, decided that they were going to implement policies allowing concealed carry permits for both staff and parents. Well, a couple of folks, one legislator in particular, Kevin McCarthy, decided from Sacramento, not Kevin McCarthy from the Bakersfield area, just to let you know. But Kevin McCarthy decided he didn't like that, so now he's got Assembly Bill 424, which will remove the ability of local school officials to approve concealed carry permits on their campus, which goes directly contrary to everything that they've been saying about allowing local control.
We've got a caller here with a question for you. Caller, go ahead, state your name, where you're from, and what your question is for Craig.
David A.G.
David, what's your question?
And the question is, I love to use my high-powered crossbows. What will they do with those?
Who knows what they will do with those? All it really takes is for someone to decide that they are scared of you and your ability to be able to defend yourself with your crossbow before they go after and seek to ban those. I wish I could tell you that there was anything that was beyond the scope of what is unreasonable for the California legislature, but I've yet to find it. There was one bill last year where they would have declared a block of aluminum or a piece of sheet metal to be a firearm. So considering that that's the sort of legislation they're putting forward, I put nothing past them.
That was a...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
I also enjoy using a the so-called pea shooter. You know, if you're familiar with that at all. A blowgun.
A blowgun.
Target practice.
if you want to be able to continue to keep carrying those around, I wouldn't carry those around.
Well, absolutely. No, I don't. I just like target practicing, that sort of thing. And I just thought it would be an interesting subject to bring up to see how far they're going to go, because it probably is going to be slingshots next time.
I think slingshots are illegal in certain parts of the state.
Oh, my God.
I think I wouldn't put it past. Well, Craig, the SB 707, the one that removed that exemption for the for people in the concealed carriers on school grounds, that was kind of prompted, if I recall correctly, because somebody found a gun in a backpack of a vice principal in the Central Valley or somebody who was a concealed carrier.
Wow.
Well, that was one of the stories behind it. That was one of the kind of the impetus behind it. But, you know, the fact is that was one of the impetus. But really what it comes down to is people were surprised when they found out that he had a concealed carry permit and was legally allowed to actually carry on campus. Now, they could fire him, but it wasn't a crime, because I believe what he was violating was the employment policy of that particular school district.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. We got to take a break. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. We'll be back for one final segment with Craig DeLuz of the Firearms Policy Coalition. Welcome back to the Dave Congleton Show. This is Matt Hoyes sitting in for Dave Congleton here at News Talk 920 KVEC. We're talking with Craig DeLuz of the Firearms Policy Coalition. Next hour, stick around. We are going to have Steve Breen, the editorial cartoonist from the San Diego Union-Tribune, a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, who will talk with us about politics, cartooning, journalism, that sort of stuff. Right now, we got a call for Craig. Don in Arroyo Grande, what's your question for Craig?
First, I'd like to clarify one thing, that everybody thinks that AR stands for assault rifle, and it stands for Armalite Arms. They were the first manufacturers of what's now called the AR platform. The question I have is with open carry. Now, it used to be in California that open carry was allowed. Then there was some restriction, and I'm pretty sure it's at the state level, that you had to be either going to and from a hunt or shooting site or to and from the repair shop. Do you know what the current status is of open carry?
Yes, open carry in the state of California in incorporated cities is illegal. So if you are open carrying a firearm in a city, it is illegal. In unincorporated county, in unincorporated areas of counties, it is legal for you to open carry. Now, there's currently a bill before the California legislature, AB7, which would eliminate open carry even in unincorporated counties. Now, what it would do is allow each local county to decide if they want to reverse that and make it legal to open carry in the unincorporated counties. But, you know, that's the same thing that they did with concealed carry on campuses with SB 707, and then they came back 2 years later and started to try and started the process to try and revoke it. So it's a step in the process of ending completely open carry in the state of California.
And yeah, when was that changed on the unincorporated?
2011 was when Anthony Portantino, then an assemblyman, now a state senator, actually carried a measure that banned open carry in the state of California.
Okay, because there was a YouTube video out of somebody open carrying in Santa Maria, so it must have been before 2011, and they got, you know, it was some guys that were going out to try and, you know, show people what the rules were and that the police didn't even know what they were, and they were confronted and, you know, resolved to let the guy go on, but I guess that is no longer possible then.
And just to be clear, Craig, we're talking about rifles at this point. The open carry of handguns has been illegal for a few years, no matter where you're at in the state.
Since 2011. Open carry of handguns anywhere is illegal. Let me clarify that. Open carry of a long gun is allowed in unincorporated counties or unincorporated parts of the county.
Okay.
Any other questions, Don?
Well, just along with this open carry, it kind of seems a little bit funny what they define, how they define stuff. Because if I can't open carry, but I have it in a case, is it in the case being concealed?
Well, it is funny that you ask that, because if there is a way in which for you to be able to legally transport a firearm, right, or a long gun, it's not considered concealed carry. Although we did actually wind up defending an individual who, on his way to a gun range, was stopped and arrested for concealed carry of a long gun, which, by the way, is not a crime. That's what one of our attorneys, a very capable attorney here in Sacramento, went to the court and had to educate both the judge and the district attorney on the fact that it is, in fact, not a crime to conceal carry a long gun.
Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you so very much.
Craig, is there a point at which you see this California is probably one of the most progressive states in the nation. Is there a point at which they all sit down and say, you know what, we have achieved every common sense gun safety regulation, we're done?
They will never reach that point until guns are banned. And I only say that because every year I keep thinking, well, hey, it can't get any worse. And then it does. The problem is you have legislators leaving and new legislators coming. They're passing laws and they're saying, well, this is going to end gun violence. It doesn't end gun violence, so they feel like we have to do something. And so they come up with some harebrained idea, and they write it into a law. They even, as they're testifying for the bill, they're saying, we realize that this is not going to stop all gun violence, but we have to do something. So they're acknowledging their bill doesn't fix what they say they want to fix, but they feel like they got to do something.
We got another caller with another question. Question for Craig.
Yeah, we got Scott on the line.
Hello. I was just curious about guns. I saw a crime show on TV, and a detective made a suggestion about someone defending yourself in California.
The phone just dropped out.
Okay, try calling back, Scott. So go ahead, Craig. They're always going to find something more.
Yes, they are always going to find something more. And once again, when you really lack an understanding of the Constitution, of the role that the right to keep and bear arms is in fact a constitutional civil right, and when you don't understand the technology or the law, you know, you get people saying, well, I support common sense gun laws. Well, okay, well, tell me a common sense gun law. They say, well, I support background checks. Okay, yeah, we got that in California.
Mm-hmm.
I support waiting periods. Yeah, we got that in California. So now what? Well, we need to close the gun show loophole. Yeah, there is no gun show loophole in the state of California. So now what? We need to ban assault weapons. There's no such thing as assault weapons. Next question. Well, assault weapons are being used in crimes. No, the things that you claim to be assault weapons, long guns, semi-automatic long guns, rifles as a whole are used in less than 3% of all gun crimes. So, no, the guns you want to ban are not the ones being used in crimes. So, yeah, no, that doesn't work. Well, we need to keep guns out of the hands of criminals. Well, I'm sorry, criminals generally don't go to the gun store and fill out a, you know, and buy and go through a background check. That's not how criminals get their guns.
Craig, we got another caller with another question. Go ahead.
We got Tony. Go ahead.
Just real quickly. So if I'm going to take my handgun out to the shooting range, how do I take my handgun to the shooting range and shoot the gun and then transport it back without being pulled over and harassed?
Craig?
Well, there is a legal way to transport a handgun. Once again, it needs to be in a locked case. It needs to be in a case in the trunk of your car. That's how you transport it.
And unloaded.
Unloaded. Ammunition separate. Okay.
You don't necessarily have to keep the ammunition separate. It just can't be loaded.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
You are quite welcome.
Craig, are we going to see? I've told friends this because I'm cynical, or maybe I'm realistic. A Gavin Newsom administration. Are we going to see him sign a bill that makes semi-automatic rifles illegal in the state of California?
Well, eventually that's where they're going to have to go. They're going to have to attempt to ban all semi-automatic rifles in the state of California, and then it will be at that point that I believe the Supreme Court will eventually have to chime in. Governor Brown, you know, believe it or not, he's knowledgeable on gun laws. He's someone who has been supportive of gun law of gun rights to a degree. He's a politician more than he's a supporter of gun rights. But he's been, up until last year, he was about as good as any of the three or four governors before him. Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't good on guns. Gray Davis definitely wasn't good on guns. So he hasn't been, he wasn't the worst until last year.
Craig, we got about 15, 20 seconds left. Do you want to just wrap it up to, you know, some final thoughts?
Final thought is this, is that they realize they can't ban guns, but what they are going to do is they're going to go after everything surrounding guns. They're going to try and ban your ability because you don't have a right to purchase ammunition. You don't have a right to sell a gun. You don't have a right to open a gun store anywhere. All of our civil rights overall are in jeopardy, all in an effort for them to ban or keep us from exercising our Second Amendment rights.
Thanks
so
a lot,
really
Craig. This is News Talk 920 KVEC, the Dave Congleton Show.